Welcome to Risky Business News, a podcast on recent cybersecurity news. This is Claire Ed. Today is October 31, and this podcast episode is brought to you by application allow listing software maker Airlock Digital. In today's top story, yet another cryptocurrency platform got hacked via the profanity vulnerability that was disclosed more than a month ago. So the latest platform to add its name to the list of profanity victims is DeFi platform FriesDAO, which confirmed on Friday that it lost $2.3 million worth of cryptocurrency after an attacker took control over one of its smart contracts through the profanity bug. Now, profanity is an application that was created in the early 2010s to allow users to generate vanity Ethereum addresses that contain strings of custom text. The tool has been extensively used for branding purposes, like adding someone's name or a company's name to a wallet address. Last month, 1inch Network disclosed a vulnerability in this tool that could allow an attacker to reverse engineer the private key of a vanity address and grant the attacker control over the funds hosted inside. Over the past month, attackers have used this bug to steal funds from cryptocurrency platforms like Quan Platform, Index Finance, ReFi and Wintermute, which lost $160 million worth of cryptocurrency in the largest profanity-based attack to date. Moving on to other hacking news, Arubis, the second largest copper producer in the world, disclosed a cybersecurity incident on Friday. The German company said some systems are still down, but the incident didn't impact its production or environmental protection safety systems at any of its smelter sites. Also in hacking news, tech giant Amazon confirmed an embarrassing security failure last week. The company said there was a deployment error with one of its Amazon Prime analytics servers, which was left exposed online without a password for more than 2 weeks. According to TechCrunch, which first reported on the incident, the server leaked 215 million entries containing pseudonymized user data related to their Amazon Prime history, like the name of the shows or movies they'd streamed, on what devices, Amazon Prime subscription details, and their network quality. In government-related news, in an explosive report on Saturday, the Daily Mail claimed that Russian state hackers compromised the personal smartphone of the former UK Prime Minister Liz Truss. The hack allegedly took place over the summer while Truss was still Foreign Secretary, and the incident was then suppressed by Boris Johnson's cabinet to maintain her chances of becoming the next PM. According to the newspaper, the incident is said to have been considered so severe that UK security services took Truss's phone away and locked it in a secure location and forced Truss to change the phone number she'd been using for the last 10 years. Meanwhile, in Russia, news reports emerged on Saturday that the Roskomnadzor, the country's telecommunications watchdog, blocked access to T.me, Telegram's short URL service. The domain was allegedly blocked after a copy of a video was uploaded on the platform containing instructions on how Russian soldiers could surrender to the Ukrainian armed forces once deployed in Ukraine. The URL was not in Roskomnadzor's block list the next day, suggesting the block was lifted on Sunday, although it's unclear if Telegram intervened to remove copies of the video. In other news, pro-Russian hacktivist groups have launched a series of coordinated DDoS attacks targeted at the IT infrastructure of the parliaments of Poland and Slovakia. The attacks targeting Poland's parliament came after the government passed a resolution recognising Russia as a terrorist state, but were inefficient and only brought down the Polish Senate's website. The attacks targeting Slovakia's parliament systems, though, were far more severe, forcing it to suspend its voting session on Thursday due to IT issues. In cybercrime news, German police detained a 22-year-old student for managing Deutschland im Deep Web, or Germany on the Dark Web, the largest dark web marketplace catering to German-speaking users. The portal has been online since 2013 and has been known to sell drugs, weapons, and ammunition. It was the website, you might remember, where the perpetrator of the 2016 Munich terrorist attack bought his weapons. In malware and threat intelligence news, several interesting reports have been published since our last podcast. This includes a Fortinet report on three new ransomware strains named FBI, Wise Guys, and Psychedelic. There's also been a report from mobile security firm Threat Fabric on malware droppers finding their way into the official Play Store and infecting at least 130,000 users with banking trojans like Sharkbot and Vulture. A report from Palo Alto Networks Unit 42 team took a closer look at the recent defences added to the GooLoader malware, meant to protect its code from security sandbox analysis and human security researchers, and Elastic Security team published a report on a new encoding format Emotet is using to store and protect its configuration. Turning now to APT and cyber espionage news. The most interesting report comes from VMware's security team, which said it found more than 80 command and control servers for ShadowPad, a backdoor trojan typically used in intrusions by Chinese state-sponsored hacking groups. VMware said it identified the servers after it analyzed the ShadowPad command and control protocol for new ways to fingerprint the malware's network traffic. Also in APT news, Broadcom's Symantec team covered a recent trick from the Cranefly cyber espionage group, which used instructions recorded in IIS server logs to send commands to infected servers. In vulnerability news, managed service provider ConnectWise released a critical security update on Friday to address a remote code execution vulnerability in two of its backup server solutions that could be used to take over vulnerable and unpatched systems. So details about the vulnerability are still kept private, at least until Monday, when Huntress Lab CEO Kyle Hanslevand promised to release more details. At least 4,800 ConnectWise servers are still exposed online, and most are likely still vulnerable as the patch came late on Friday and very few administrators learned of it in time to roll out the fix. Still in vulnerability news, Google released a new version of the Chrome browser to address a zero-day exploited in the wild. And listeners should also look for recent security updates released for Juniper SSL VPN products and the Samsung Galaxy Store app. And lastly today, a team of academics has identified a timing attack that can be performed on the read delivery status notification feature of modern instant messaging services. So it allows attackers to distinguish different receivers and their locations by sending them instant messages and measuring the time it takes to receive a read notification. The attack works with 80% accuracy, and researchers successfully tested it against instant messaging services like Signal, WhatsApp, and Threema. The research team said the attack can be easily mitigated by adding random time microdelays to the process of sending a message. That's all the news for this podcast edition. Closing the episode, we have David Cottingham, CEO of Airlock Digital, this episode's sponsor, who now go into the finer details of how Airlock recently shifted from Linux drivers to a driverless agent for its Linux OS customers.
One of the biggest challenges in performing endpoint protection on Linux-based operating systems is the need for a kernel driver in most cases. You need a kernel driver because in order to get low-level system visibility into certain events, that's typically the only way that it can be done. And we ran into a number of challenges with the first iteration of the Airlock agent, where we were developing kernel drivers for specific sort of mainstream kernels. And then there was an announcement from the CentOS Foundation that they're moving to a sort of stream model where they're going to be updating kernel drivers all the time, you know, in front of Red Hat. This really prompted a change in thinking internally in the company, where we just realized that it wasn't practical to actually deliver kernel drivers for every single version of the kernel that all of our customers are going to be running, because it creates a headache for us because we need to compile lots of kernels for everyone. And it also creates a problem for customers because they need to continually ask us for new versions of the kernel drivers or be subscribed to some sort of feed where they have to obtain, redeploy, reinstall all the time. It just wasn't practical. So we did a lot of research and realized that in more modern versions of Linux, there's a kernel callback called FA notify. And for allow listing, which is what we do here at Airlock, we only need to be notified about the files that are being sort of read or executed on the system. And file access notify or FA notify provides us that. So we've done a lot of engineering over the last few years in order to tap into that callback, and now we're actually able to perform allow listing on Linux, as long as it's in the last 10 years, really any operating system flavor without a driver, which allows you to patch, reboot, and you run the whole operating system without actually reinstalling the software, which is really, really cool.
That's it for today's show. You can find links to all the reports mentioned in this podcast in our newsletter at riskybiznews.substack.com or on our website at risky.biz.